Daniel Camp, Wednesday evening service.
sad.
Spirit just like yours, that's my desire. If the Holy Hands are will to understand.
Again, and let's pay attention to the words.
To have a heart that's true, a spirit just like yours,
I need to sing that again. I don't know if you do, but I do. So let's sing it together.
To have a heart that's pure, a spirit just like yours, that's my desire.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here this evening, dear Lord. We just pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the joy and peace that comes with your Holy Spirit, dear Father. Dear Lord, we just ask that you will help us to set aside all our concerns and those things that would hold us back, those worries, dear Lord, that we may be filled with joy and enter into the fullest extent to your Holy Spirit right now, dear Lord.
Yes.
Because you want to teach us certain things, dear Lord, and we want to be here and ready to listen.
Yes.
We just pray that you'll bless each one now as we enter in. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing that song once again and then sing other songs. I can't even think of a song to sing, but one thing that's been on my heart lately is to be like Jesus is one of the songs that we sing. And I really want to spend some time in really studying about what that is. What is it to be like Jesus? What was he like? What did he, you know, there's so much to know there. And if we followed that and walked with him, it'd be a wonderful life. Praise the Lord. So let's just sing this one again.
To your heart that's true, a spirit just like
thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Prayed for Cheryl Medina today. This afternoon, she's not feeling good at all. And I'm just wondering if we can sing that and just have her in our mind while we're singing. God, Jesus Christ, finished it, and we want to believe. Let's not doubt. Let's believe.
Each day with thee,
Lord, let me walk each day.
We all believe the words of that song.
Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day.
That's what we're learning to do here in this camp. Very much. We're noticing it so much. And things don't always go the way we plan. And we're just trying to walk with Him and understand where He's leading. And sometimes it isn't what we expect at all. So it's a wonderful thing. And in the natural, it's a little scary, but if we can trust Him and walk with Him, it's just a wonderful life. So let's sing that again, please.
Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with Thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Guide me along the way.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sleep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at His feet, sweet. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sit at His feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, sweet wonder. Oh, sweet wonder. Jesus, the Son. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Precious Holy Spirit, come and take control. Let the dew of heaven. Thank you. using it again. Dawn is just getting warmed up there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. We've been singing about our desire to enter in, to be filled with the Spirit, and to receive all those blessings that we receive when we're filled with the Spirit and when we can walk with God. We sang that song, Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me. And I remember a few years back, we were lived in Saskatoon. Hazel and I were I didn't really feel, I was hoping that the brethren were doing the right thing, but I didn't really feel very strongly that in doing this, but they felt that I should be one of the elders in Saskatoon way back then. And it's quite a responsibility, and you really don't know what's involved. But I remember so well that we were being prayed over, and of course when you are set, prayed over and prophesied over, and Brother Whitter was there, and the song that was sung over and over was Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me. And you know, over the years I thought the mantle is it's a covering, but it's a responsibility. Are we really ready to take this responsibility? But it also comes with a double portion of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what Elisha asked for. He was determined. When he knew that Elijah was going to be called home, he said, and Elijah, I think he told him to, you know, go ahead and finish whatever he was doing. He said, no, I'm going to be with you at this time. And he was determined to be there so that he got his mantle and the spirit of Elijah that was put upon him. So it takes some determination. I was sort of, Hazel and I it was a big responsibility. And you never feel as though you can handle it. And I guess if you felt that you could handle it, you shouldn't take it. Wouldn't that be a good idea? But I remember what a wonderful time it was. Turned out to be, there were two elders there, and very, very loving elders who were the Hazel. Brother. And what? Brother Pilstrom and Brother Tychrobe, yeah. And Brother Tychrobe the Lord called him home soon after that. But his spirit, it was so gentle and loving, and that I just remember it to this day. So anyway, I'm getting off the track here, what I wanted to say. But that double portion of the Spirit that comes when we allow the Lord to move in our lives, and in that case, we allowed the brethren to pray over us and enter into this responsibility. And so I've made a few notes here, and the heading of this, I've had them for some years, so I hope I can remember, I can read them again still. But it's called Areas of Responsibility. And our walk with God is divided into, and this is just the way I see it, various areas of responsibility. Number one is the individual, your individual walk with God. And it's number one because it's the most important. If we can't walk with Him in our own lives, then how can we be of much value to anyone else? So it's as an individual. And number two, as a family. If you're part of a family, you need to develop your own walk with God and then minister to your family. And the local church is another step up. But you have to have things in order before you can be much value to the local church. And then the universal church, which we're so privileged to be part of. And we know people all over the world. I remember when we lived in Regina for quite a few years, and talking to someone and saying that I was telling them about what our sons were doing. They were visiting people in Saskatoon or North Battleford, and then mentioned Vancouver. And after the conversation got going, he said, "How do you know people in all those places?" He says, "I only know people in Regina." You know, so we're so privileged to know the people that we do, and the great privilege, it's such a great privilege to come together to this camp. And so that is part of the universal church. But we must, first of all, and most important, to learn to walk with God ourselves, to give our hearts to Him, to receive salvation. And that is number one, to ask Him into our hearts. And when we were singing the other night, we were singing, and we're feeling that everyone here has received salvation, everyone's saved. Now, that might not be the case. We might have, and we appreciate it when people come in, maybe even unsaved people, if they would come here and want to be saved, that would be wonderful. But also we have children that are born into our families and growing up. So there needs to be a time when they commit their lives to the Lord, when they understand that that they should commit their lives to the Lord. In John 6 and 44, the scriptures there, and it says, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And then it says, I will raise him up on the last day. So it's a wonderful thing. But it says that, I know that the Lord is drawing us, and especially when we are in a family, born into a family. But we need to commit our lives unto the Lord. One of the most important scriptures about salvation is John 3:16. And it says, "For God," we all know it, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a wonderful thing. We appreciate our lives. We appreciate the number of years that we've had. And but what it says here is that we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. Even though our body might be put in the grave, we have everlasting life. So as we go on, we are focusing on our day-to-day walk and trying to enter in, and as was mentioned earlier, to understand what the Lord, what Jesus is like, to be like Jesus. And so we focus on those things, and we don't worry about the days down the road, because we may or may not live another however many years. And but when God calls us, it goes. He calls us into eternal life. We have eternal life, so we don't have to worry about that at all. We just need to worry about what we're doing today and how we can enter in and enjoy the day that we have today. We can't change the past. We don't know the future very much, other than He has promised us eternal life. So we just need to focus on today, to entering in. I'll just read the next verse after John 3:16. For God sent His Son into the world, sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. His desire is to save the world, and He doesn't condemn probably as much as we tend to condemn people. We see people doing something, we think that they shouldn't, but we don't focus on that too much. You know, we just want to love them, and if there's any chance of drawing them in and showing them the way of the Lord, or even setting an example, that's what we want to do every day in our lives. Praise the Lord. So just a point, a final point, maybe on the individual part of the walk, is, and it has to do with salvation and being saved and walking with the Lord. 1 John 1:19 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we can walk. We're cleansed of all of that happened in the past. And what a wonderful blessing that is. And most of the scriptures that pertain to salvation are in the New Testament. I have lots of them here I could read, but I won't do that right now. But there's one that's refers to our individual walk. And it's found in Isaiah 43:1-3. Just read those scriptures. And the Lord, He said unto the people of that day, He's speaking to us as well. It says, "Now thus saith the Lord, that who created you, and He that formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine." He calls us. And that's how we can come to Him. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We have a few troubles in our lives, but when we pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And that's a way back in Isaiah, as prophecy that's coming about salvation. Praise the Lord. So, if there's anyone here who doubts their salvation at all, this is the place. And in these meetings, you need to ask the Lord to come into your heart and change your life. and as he's done with almost, with it, I think maybe almost every one of us. Praise the Lord. So another step which should and can come right after salvation is water baptism. Baptism was a direct command of the Lord just before he was taken up into heaven. And Matthew 28 and 19 says, and this is a direction to the Lord knew that he was going to be taken away from the disciples, and he was giving them some teaching. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations. So we don't just sit back and keep this all to ourselves. Wherever possible, we should make disciples of those around us. And it says here, of all nations. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was saying that baptism was quite an important part of our experience, where we go in, where we are put under the water and come up a new person. And and even Jesus was baptized, as he knew that he was his work was going to be, and he was an adult when he was baptized. He was, you know, probably late 20s or so. And but he knew that his work was about to begin in a different way, in a more serious way. So he wanted to be baptized, and he went to where John was baptizing and needed to be baptized. So if he needed to be baptized, so do we. And so if there's anyone here at this camp who has accepted the Lord and was walking with him, you should have the experience of baptism. And this is the opportunity. So if you care to be baptized in water, we have, I remember in one place, I think it was the Apostle Paul was talking to someone and teaching him about baptism, and the person said, yes, I believe that. There's water right there. Why can't I be baptized? And they did. So there's water right there. And we've had some very wonderful experiences with the baptism, water baptism here. And people have come forward that we didn't expect. And I don't think the owners of this camp, his name is Ron Coyle. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. As one of the owners of the camp, and he came forward in our baptismal service and was baptized 2 years ago. Yeah, and what a thrill for us to have him come and be baptized and enter into that. And you know, these are wonderful experiences for us to enter into. So what usually happens, I remember most of the time, if there is one or two who want to be baptized and we have the service, there ends up to being many more. And isn't that right? That's the way it works. That's what happened when you were baptized. There was just that you and your husband, and we were having a baptismal service. I think there were about 13 that time before. So we have to have lots of baptismal certificates ready, just in case. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful experiences. So I don't know. Brian said that he had some scriptures regarding water baptism, and that you might want to share those at some point. But the main thing is to be that we are put under the water where the elders are there and pray over us, and we come up in a new life. I remember when I was baptized in water, it was in a lake out south of North Battleford, and I was about 10 years old, and it was Lizard Lake, if you can imagine. And so they were having a water baptismal service. So my older sister was a little concerned. She said, you know, I don't think he's old enough. He needs to understand what he's doing. And my mom, but I wanted to be baptized, and my mom was okay with that. She said, if he wants to be baptized, we're not going to say no, because it may not happen again. Opportunity may not happen. And so I probably didn't understand much of what was happening. I listened to the message, and I remember it very well, and I remember the stones and the grass on the side of the lake, and went in there and were baptized. And even though I didn't understand a lot of it at the time, it still meant a lot to me and means a lot to me even today that that actually took place, and I can relive that experience. Praise the Lord. So appreciated that very much. So the reason I'm saying this is that we have the opportunity here, and we don't want to miss it. And if there's a baptismal service, if there's anyone comes forward, we'll have a service. And probably after lunch on Friday or Saturday, depends on how things go. So we look forward to that, and if Brian has anything else to say about it, that's fine. Another step is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we want to be filled with the Spirit. As much as we've sung those songs tonight and last night, and with our desire to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with that strength and power, and there's so much to it that if we could really grasp it and be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, it would be a wonderful thing. I remember the brethren of in the earlier days after the move, and not I'm thinking of Brother Holt and Brother Hunt and some of those, and they would say that, you know, we can enter in. And it was a wonderful thing in the early days of the move of the Spirit, how people were able to enter in. This was kind of a new thing, and not everyone that was believed, but once they started to enter in, and this was a new thing that was being that they were experiencing, and it was so wonderful that they were just overtaken by it, something they'd never really experienced before. It was, I see Mamie nodding her head there, so she remembers that. That entering into a way that that they had never gone before. And I remember Brother Larkin lived in North Battleford, and he was telling about those times, and he said he just couldn't hardly wait to get off. He was working, and of course the Bible school was there, and these things were going on, and you never knew what might happen next. And he said he could hardly wait to get off work and get out there again. He said, you know, you're lacking sleep, and because you'd go out there every night to enter in and see what was happening and see the wonderful things of the Lord. So we need to, there are things, wonderful things that we can experience. And they haven't diminished in any way since then. We maybe get used to it, maybe too used to expecting these things, but let's really enter in. Our singing last night was a time when we were entering in a way that I hadn't experienced for a long time, if ever. God is moving us on, and He is leading the way. It's just wonderful. So we need to. I was going to tell you about the brethren, the earlier brethren, who would say that we can enter in, and then we come out again, and we enter in and come out again. He said there'll be a day when we'll be able to enter in and walk in the Spirit all the time. We won't come out. We'll just be there. And so we pray that. It doesn't mean we would be an odd person or anything like that. It would just mean that we are filled with the Spirit to the extent that the Lord is guiding us, guiding our every thought and our conversation. It'll be filled with love and not condemnation of anybody. We'd be thinking, and I can see that happening in our lives, you know, that we care about people. I think we do, don't we? We really care about people. And we're not competing with somebody to try to get something from everybody or get what's coming to us. Sometimes we don't get what's coming to us. But it doesn't matter. We just want to love people. And eventually they'll notice it. And that relationship will really develop. Praise the Lord. So, at camp, there was an evening when there was the altar was opened for those that wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was a wonderful time. Those times are memorable when God shows the way. I remember that time when I was at North Battleford too. I'm very privileged to be able to keep going back there and experiencing those meetings over the years of my growing up days. Praise the Lord. So I just want to finish this off. I talked about our individual walk, and I guess that's what I've been talking about so far. And then our family. We want to be a blessing in our family. The more we can be filled with the Spirit, the more we can bless our family, and the more we can bless the local church. And let's not neglect that, because when we meet together in the local church, everybody needs us. We're not there. We're there because they need us to be there and encourage them. And we need everybody else that comes there. Praise the Lord. So let's walk with the Lord ourselves and learn to bless our family and the local church and the universal church. And we are so privileged to be part of the universal church here tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brian, do you have those scriptures about the baptism? Do you feel to cover them? Okay, yeah. Okay. One other thing I just want to refer to here is, as I mentioned, we lived in Regina for quite a while, 26 years, I think it was. So, you never know why the Lord puts you in certain places, but that's what He did with us. And then it was about 20 years ago now that we realized that what we would like to do is move to Vancouver. My sister had passed away, and we ended up getting purchasing her condo back in 1999. And with the thought that maybe the Lord would like us, that would be a good place to have a little place to live out there. And it looked as though that was where we should be going. And, of course, David Kotcher and I were the elders in Regina. And so you wonder what would happen, what's going to happen if I don't want to just leave David there all by himself as an elder. But the Lord was really blessed us in that he brought Trevor and Candace Sunbow to Regina just about that time, a couple of years before that, and they were getting settled in. And there was no doubt in our minds that Trevor should be the next elder there. So, and I didn't want to leave the church without, you know, just with one elder. So it seemed, I talked to David about it, and it took some time. It took probably a couple of years before this actually happened. And they asked the brethren about it, and Trevor was quite young at the time. And we felt very strongly. And so finally they talked to him, and then he called us and over to their place, and he said, "Are you sure?" And David and I said, "Yes, we're sure." So Trevor was set, and along with his wife, in the office in Regina. But what I'm getting to is that Trevor is about 30 years younger than I am. So he has much better contact with the young people than I did. And I felt that my contact with them was slipping because of the difference in age. Now, David Kotcher is kind of halfway between us. But we had young people there, and I really felt as though I wasn't I wanted to be able to do more for those young people. So when Trevor was set as an elder, one of the first things he did, and I was amazed that he got them to agree with him, because he really seemed to have a connection to the young people. And he asked each one of them one at a time to come and meet with him one-on-one, and they would go over their prophecies. And so each one that had been prophesied over brought their prophecies, and I sat in with it. I sat in with them on many of those occasions, but mainly Trevor was wanting to identify their gifts in the prophecies so that he knew how they would fit into the church. And I need more Kleenex here before the night's on. But it was a wonderful experience, and I see differences in those young people that I don't think that would have happened if there was just David and I were elders, that Trevor just seemed to have that ministry to the young people and really took the gifts and ministries seriously and wanted them to know, because sometimes if you're prayed over, you usually someone records it and it's written down, but years go by and you don't read it. And but it's very important. It's something that stays with you the rest of your life. And so, as I said, we went over those, and I was in on it, and it was just wonderful. And I've seen a difference in those many of those young people just by that meeting and discussion, and you could see them entering in because they were reminded again of what their gifts and ministries were. And when you have gifts and ministries, they're not to be left dormant. So for those of you who, most of us have been prayed over and for our gifts and ministries, and even recently with the traveling brethren and some of the meetings that we've had, it's been decided that we were all to submit our gifts and ministries into so that we all know each other's gifts and ministries. That's how important it is. Excuse me. But anyway, if there's anyone here, thank you very much. That's what I need.
It's not a very big class.
Got the message across. Okay. Usually the traveling brethren go to the local churches and pray over people, and the Lord indicates who should be prayed over. And I remember them coming to Regina. We were so blessed there that the brethren would come, and the elders usually were really waiting for them to get to come, because there are people that they really want them to pray over, and we don't want them to people to grow up and become, you know, halfway through their life, and that hasn't happened. So usually the elders are asking about that. So, and then there are times where it's difficult for the traveling brethren to get to a certain place to pray over people, and so we sometimes do it at camp. And I just wonder, Wayne and Brian, do you have anything more to say right now about these? We've been thinking of praying over Ashton Greif, and we know that the Lord has been speaking to us and in various ways about that for some time. And I just wonder if Ashton, would you be okay with that tonight if we prayed over you? Yeah, he's nodding his head. So, praise the Lord. Would Wayne and Brian come, and the elders from Payette, would you come up, please? And praise the Lord. I want, if you have any words to say before this, you might do so, or maybe it's all been said. I don't know. Praise the Lord.
This is a tremendous time of celebration in the church when gifts and ministries are indicated and imparted. It's probably one of the most holy things we get to be able to enjoy, is seeing God impart gifts to a young man like Ashton and to many of you. And the same Spirit that will rest on us brethren, you may feel that same Spirit on you, and you'll just feel a witness as God begins to say to Ashton the things that God has in store for him. So don't be surprised. But why I'm saying that is just enter in and enjoy the flow of God, and pray for those of us that we'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We have found God to be so amazing. I remember, if you'll bear with me, sorry, Ashton, to delay here, but I remember being in the Caribbean, and there was a young woman there. A number of us brethren were there as presbytery. We didn't know who she was, yet the Lord was indicating her, and so she was contacted and came forward. And when we prayed over her, for some reason, God emphasized fathers to her. that she had fathers in her elders, and she had that God was her father, and he just over and over emphasized to her that God had supplied fathers for her. And this stayed as a mystery in my heart, and later Marjorie and I were over at a dear sister's place in Antigua, a very godly woman, and we said, "Who is this woman?" And she said, "Oh, she lives with me." And, "Well, why did God talk to her so much about her father, about being her father and about the elders being her fathers?" And she said, "Because her own personal dad is in prison and has no care for her at all, she's just craving that she would have her dad love her. And she was longing for that." And, you know, God just spoke to her and told her that he'd looked after the father side of things in her life. Praise his name. And so only the Spirit of God can do those things. And yeah, just join us as we look to the Lord and pray for our brother.
We'll just say a few things about this as well. The gifts of the Spirit is something that is being mentioned in many circles, God's people, and I know that there's a way that some people do it. They'll create a little subcommittee for people, and they look at your natural talent, and they kind of say this is your gift. And I just love the way the Word of God tells us about this. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." If something's given to you, then it's something you didn't have. And it's imparted by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Presbytery is a big word, simply means a group of elders. So here it's telling us not to neglect. And so I think, just like we've talked about when there's baptism, probably when you're at a wedding, you're all reminded of renewing your own vows and thinking about your commitment and so forth. So it is this evening when you look at your gifts. Many of you have sat in a chair somewhere and had people prophesy over you. And here it says to not neglect the gift that is in you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands." That's pretty clear. We don't have a committee here. We have an indication from the Holy Spirit about this. Romans 1 verse 11 says, "I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established." So it's a very scriptural pattern that's going on here. So praise the Lord. This is time. Praise God. Thank you.
Yea, my son, saith the Lord thy God, do not fear, for I am with thee. Be not anxious, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. I will comfort thee. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. My son Ashton, saith the Lord, I have formed you and shaped you, and I am a master at what I do. And I have called you to be here in this hour, on the earth in this hour. I have called you to be here during this age and the closing age, the coming of the kingdom. I have called you for such an hour of this as this to walk with my son, saith the Lord thy God. I have called thee to keep the Son of God centered in your life as you have done thus far. For my son, Jesus Christ, will guide you and strengthen you and show you a way that you've never gone before. My son, the gift of faith is in thee, and you will operate not by sight, but by faith, saith the Lord. And this gift in thee will give you courage, not for yourself, but for others. And the word of God will strengthen your faith and cause you to be bold in God. I will cause words of wisdom to come from your mouth, Ashton. They will be my words. They will confound the wickedness that is about you and even put to flight the enemy and his devices, even the strategies of men to confuse righteousness shall be demolished by the words of faith and of wisdom that I shall put in your mouth. I shall employ you, my son, to be an ambassador for me in the church, where you shall prophesy and speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And you shall rightly divide the word of truth, saith the Lord thy God. I will cause thee to put great stock in those who have gone before thee, and the teachings that I have given that have come before thee. For I will set responsibilities on men who know how to follow those who are in authority over them, saith the Lord. My son Ashton, I will not call you to do things hastily, but through prayer and counsel, you shall come to decisions on what to do in matters. You shall look to those who are your peers and those who are older, saith the Lord. My son, I have called you to be an example of a believer, as all believers are called, but you shall be visible to those around about you. And as such, I have called you to be an example of a believer to others, saith the Lord your God. Do not stagger at the enormity of the plan of God for your life, but remain very humble, for I will give you opportunity to do things that are impossible for man. Even because of the gift of faith, you shall operate in the miraculous, saith the Lord. And from time to time, things shall happen that are prompted by me that are impossible for men, but not for me, saith the Lord thy God. My son, walk softly before me as you have. Walk in obedience. Continue to fellowship with the Lord your God and with his saints. Let the love of God be in you for the church, my son. Let there be a love of God in you for the broken also, and for those who have great shame and sorrow and loss in their life. And I will bring them across your path, my son. You will be a balm. You will be a soothing to them with your words, saith the Lord your God. You shall be a comfort and even a shield and a buckler to many, saith the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yes, Jesus.
The gift of the word of wisdom do I give unto you. Yea, my son, a lighthouse.
Yeah.
A lighthouse that shines. And though you do not see perhaps the ships that are in trouble, they will see you, saith the Lord.
Praise. Thank you.
The light is not yours. The light is mine, saith the Lord. Thou wilt be a reflection of my light, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Yea, the darkness covers the people. Yea, my son, thou wilt not know until the ships come closer, and they will come to safety, saith the Lord.
Praise God.
My son, I love you.
Yes.
With an everlasting love. Yea, stand firm in the word of God.
Yes.
Yea, let faith come mightily through the hearing of the word.
Yes.
My word shall be an anchor and it brings safety, saith the Lord. My son, rest, do not be busy about your own things, but rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
Yea, my son, I am working through my people. Yea, as they yield themselves unto me, there is no limitations to the possibilities. My goals are that all men would come to the knowledge of the Son of God.
Yes.
Yea, my son, if you will leave your own ways and take my ways, great exploits shall be done.
Yes.
And we shall walk together.
Hallelujah.
And do great things, saith
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
May you walk forward from this place with joy in your heart, because the Lord has placed His Spirit within you, and He will give you those words of wisdom to say, those words of comfort, especially to those who are much in need of comfort. Yea, I will give you a loving heart, a caring heart, that you will be of much value to those around you in your work, that you will be an example to others. And I will show you the way. I will see that you are taught, that you learn those things that need to be learned, that you may walk in the way that I have set before you. Yea, be faithful unto me, for I have called and chosen you for a special walk.
Yes.
And you shall be a blessing wherever you are, in the local church and in the camp meetings, in the universal church.
Yes.
You will be a blessing to your family because I shall live within you and I will give you those words of wisdom that will comfort. Yea, walk in confidence in me that I am there within you and this is a new day in your life. The love of God is within you. The love of God loves you. And I have filled you with my love. So walk in confidence and enjoy from this day onward. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. I say to you, my son, walk in obedience to the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
For in so doing, the law of the Lord will be fulfilled. Put your trust in the Lord, be obedient unto him, and do not falter in your faith in the face of adversity, but just be obedient. Do what I, the Lord God, would have you do.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Have I not said unto you, my son Ashton? Have I not commanded you? Be strong.
Yes.
Be courageous.
Yes, hallelujah.
Do not tremble and do not fear. For I, the Lord thy God, shall be with you wherever you go. I will be with you, Ashton. So trust me. Trust me. Walk with me. Put me first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes, hallelujah.
And all these things shall be done.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
God. Father, we just bless. Ask a special blessing upon Ashton tonight. We, this congregation that has gathered together here tonight, that is sharing in this time, this special time, we all bless him.
Yes.
And dear Lord, we just ask that your strength will be upon him as has been prophesied. Dear Lord, we just ask that he will be able to receive these gifts that he has received from you, even tonight, and that he will be able to take hold of them and make use of them, and that they will be great. There will be he will see those changes taking place, and that he will be filled with your joy. Bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He leadeth me. He leadeth.
He leadeth me, he leadeth me.
We need to sing that once more and just really soak in the meaning of this. It's meaningful for Ashton. He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. And then let's make the commitment. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Let's just stand and sing that. He leadeth me. He by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth
me. I just want to read you something. Something that I wrote a long time ago. And I just found it. It's a good idea to write things in your Bible, if you can. But I just found it a couple weeks ago. And I read it to my family, but I'd like to read it to you. And to you, Ashton, again. This is about thoughts that I wrote down about my prophecy and about how God looks at us. It's been such a comfort to me over the years. The thing that strikes me about God's prophecy for my life is that God is so positive. God is so positive. He doesn't dwell on the negative aspects of my life, which are many, but upon the positive, noble characteristics which I have or shall one day have. God sees the end from the beginning. He looks at the finished product. He looks at what can become of my life if I walk with Him daily, obedient unto the leading of God's Spirit. Our prophecy is a picture of what our life can become. Faith is the door through which our life can become what God has chosen for us to be. Faith and obedience. If God sees me in this way, then I shouldn't ever doubt Him that it's possible. Rather, I should believe that all things are possible, especially the things that He's prophesied over me. It's my blueprint. Lesson plan for life drawn up by the master architect. It should give me great confidence and faith that I can be, that as I am led by His Spirit daily, hourly, I indeed can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When people put new responsibility or challenges upon me, I should rise to the occasion. Not because I'm anything, but because of He who indwells me is greater than all those challenges. Walk in the Spirit and do what He tells you to do. Be a hearer and a doer with confidence according to the gifts and prophecies given you. I think that's a message for all of us. You know, if God tells you to do something, I've thought about this a lot lately. If He tells you to do something or asks you to do something, you know, you can say why, or you can say, in reference to jumping, how high? How high? I talked to the young men at Battleford camp, just short little talk, and I called it whatever, my whatever talk. And what I meant by that was, whatever God tells you to do, believe that you can do it. Because He who is in you is greater. He gives you the potential to do whatever it is that he calls us to do. And I'm talking to myself, obviously, right now. Because I have lots of doubts in my own life. But we just need to trust him when he tells us.
Three of us are trying to figure out which one is supposed to come up here, and each one is pointing at the other one.
I thought you were behind the podium.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Praise God. What a blessing. I don't think we realize right away just until these things sink into our lives, what the blessing of the gifts are. And I hope that we'll all review our prophecies from time to time and really focus on those things that God wants us to do. We might think that can't do, there's things that we can't do, we're too weak, but those things that he has spoken to us about, we can do them if God, if we just accept those gifts, because we don't want to lay them aside and let them not. I just wonder if there's anyone else here who has a word of encouragement or anything like that. I thought there would be.
Yeah.
Good evening. Let's put this up a little further. Can you hear me now? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. I was talking to the Lord one morning, and I had just come from visiting one of our dear sisters who had a Norma Livingston. She had a knee replacement. And I thought about that knee replacement. The surgeon that performed that operation, my goodness, the precision that he had to do to get that perfect. Not only to open that part of the body to make it right, but and to peel back the layers that needed to be peeled back without hitting a vein that might cause her to die even, he wasn't the only one there. There were all kinds of other people there to make sure that she was sedated properly, to make sure that she didn't have pain while he was performing this operation. But his skill was beyond what maybe any of us could do. Maybe our best intentions, we could have the best intentions to want to help somebody that has a problem. But she needed the right person on that knee. I could have gone and I could have said, "Oh man, I'd really like to fix that knee, Norma." And she'd look at me like I had three heads, I'm sure. And, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the skills. I could have had all the right equipment, the best equipment. I could have had all the thoughts on how I should go about it, but I couldn't do the job. To snip those bones just at the right, or saw them, I'm sure they're doing that, to saw those bones just at the right place and then place in that appliance that's going to function as her knee. Now, I want to tell you that original equipment is probably the best stuff. So hang on to your knees as long as you can. And if the Lord can heal those, you're way better off. But he does give us these men that have studied and have a skill that is so far beyond most people's skill. And then I got to thinking, that's a wonderful thing. You know, that's just in the natural, you know, just a small thing. And for us, we look at the master physician. We look at Jesus Christ, who before the foundations of the world knew exactly where you'd be sitting tonight. He knew what you needed. He knew what care you needed. He knew precisely what circumstances you needed in your life to grow. He knew that. And he knew what you'd be facing. And he thought about this from before the foundations of the earth. If you can imagine that. Just imagine that for a second. They tell you in sales to get people to imagine things. I'm not much of a salesman, so don't worry about that. But just imagine how he thought about you and the precision that he went to get those circumstances in your life. It was perfect. And you're here today. And you might not sometimes feel all that perfect, but he is. And he is making you the way he wants you to be. And sometimes, sometimes I get in the way. Sometimes. And I want to do the work of the master. I want to be the one that cuts the incision. I want to be doing the things that really are the things that God should be doing. And it's so easy. It's so easy because, we still have that carnal nature. And that's the thing that we fight. And yet he's given us weapons for our warfare against that and against the enemy. And wonderful thing when you have your gifts and ministries prophesied to you. Because he's given you tools and established you in the body of Christ so that you can function as his spirit moves through you, and he does the work. And that's the thing that I wanted to say tonight, was it is so important that we don't grab a hold and step in and try to be what God wants his Holy Spirit to do. To let him, but follow that leading so carefully, and do the thing that he has to put on our heart. And it's almost a gray area because he wants us to take those gifts and ministries and function in the body of Christ and do the thing. He doesn't want us to just ask him, could you do this, Lord? And he does it. But he wants us to do it ourselves, but under his leading. That is so vital. And that is why we need the anointing. We've sung of the anointing so much. And it's been so wonderful that way. We need the anointing of Jesus Christ upon our lives. And that anointing will begin to flow through our gifts and ministries. And it will be very natural. It won't be something that's forced. We won't have to say, sometimes we... I don't know if you've ever done this, but sat in a meeting or sat in, your local church and you think, boy, things should be different. I've often done that. And, I think the Lord has that in mind for things to be different. Because I don't think that he wants them to be the way they are. But I'll tell you, I can get in there and I can try to make them different. And I can make a mess out of things. And I've done that. And I have been blessed by fellow elders that have been patient with me while I've done that. And I've made mistakes. And the Lord has been patient with me. So, another part of the message is don't be afraid. Don't live in fear saying, oh, well, my goodness, if I make a mistake, what will happen? All of us here are willing to forgive you. You know, so many times we make mistakes without thinking, and that's okay. You know, if we maliciously go to make mistakes, that's different. I don't think there's anybody in the hall tonight that would do that. I think that we all have the best intentions. But even with the best intentions, we can try to take hold of the things. And I'm just trying to think of the words that I'd like to say for this. Give me a second. We can try to take hold of the Ark of the Covenant. We can try to steady it. Wasn't that God's job? Even though the fellow saw it wobble a little bit, the Lord struck him down dead. And I'm so thankful that the Lord, we live in the age of grace, where he's not going to strike us down dead for making that mistake. Because I would be gone. And I'm thankful to the Lord for his mercy in that way. But it's so true. But don't worry about making mistakes. Make those mistakes and you learn so much from them. Just like it was ministered. You know, it was ministered. You know, I can be right and I can learn. You know, wonderful. I appreciate you saying that today, brother. And we just have to be encouraged in our ministry. But really seek the Holy Spirit as we move. And be careful, you know, with each other and with our ministry. And if we make a mistake, let's get it straight right away. Don't let it fester for years. That can happen. Let's just apologize. If we've hurt somebody in the process, apologize to them and say, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And you know what? I don't think there's too many people that won't forgive you because they love you. And that love of God is in them. You know, and there's sometimes things that are hanging around that needed to be sorted out over the years, and that's there too. But God has left these things in our lives for a purpose, and he just wants you to be encouraged tonight to function in your ministry so that you can be a part of his work in the earth today in reconciling the whole creation. What a great job, you know. Talk about a job description. I'm helping reconcile the entire creation back to the Lord himself. And I can't do that except without his help. I can't do that. But with his help, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can too. Amen? Just wanted to encourage you.
Thank you for that message, and now we're going to be given time to process it. We get too many messages in an evening or any time. We can't remember everything, so let's process what we heard and appreciate the blessings that God has given us tonight. And we find it a great blessing to be involved with the prayer over Ashton, and we just thank the Lord for those things. Are there any announcements tonight? Yeah. Did you have an announcement, or have you got to say? Come on up.
Some of you may know this already, but tomorrow morning, the Holy Grounds coffee shop there is open from 7 to 7:30 for those of you who like specialty coffees. So enjoy.
Can I add to that? If you don't show up, they won't do it again. Only two people came today.
After you get your coffee, you can come out to play pickleball tomorrow at 8 o'clock. either if you know how to play or you don't know how to play or you've heard about it and like to see how to play and what it's all about and why it's such a popular activity with older folks and younger folks. 8 o'clock just behind this building on the basketball court when it's still fairly cool, tomorrow and Friday, 8 a.m.
Early coffee, early breakfast.
Perfect.
Right.
So the coffee shop is open at 7, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the time that breakfast starts, right? Is it? No, 7:30. Okay. Yeah, so you can have coffee before breakfast. Sounds like a good idea. Okay. Good. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer for a moment. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings of this day and this evening. And we pray that you will just continue to guide us. We know you will, dear Lord. You know, we know you live within our hearts. Just bless our conversation as we fellowship this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.